Hi, I'm Minka, and you're listening to The Sane Space. We are the first South African climbing podcast, we think. And we're super excited to talk to South African climbers about climbing and also some of the tough stuff. Stick around. We are committed to releasing an episode on the last Wednesday of every month, and then possibly a special edition in between. End your month on a high note with us.
Hey, did you know that supporting The Sane Space on Patreon is like bouldering? Just three moves and you're done. Here's the beta. Step one, go to patreon.com and search for The Sane Space. Step two, choose from one of four membership levels, each with their own exclusive benefits and content. Step three, complete the sign up and boom. Just like that, you supported your local climbing podcast. Thank you for spotting us.
Hey, Sanders. Who the fuck am I? It's Amy coming to you from Minka's couch. Finally made it into the hot seat. And Minka and I are chatting about climbing partnerships, about each other, about all sorts of things. This yep. will be the fourth time we've tried to record this episode because we're having a bit of technical difficulties, and by that I mean Minka's memory on how to use this device. But
there's also been some power issues that have nothing to do with my memory.
Not even load shedding though, like just power struggles.
And all the while, we've been drinking, so this is going to be hilarious.
So here we are. We decided, you know, it's high time we did an episode. Maybe talk about ourselves for a little bit. Be a little bit self-indulgent. Some people start podcasts just to talk about themselves. I think we've been quite accommodating and hearing from the community. It's what we want to hear from, ultimately. But we're also part of that community, as is this podcast. So here we are, talking about how it came to be, how we came to be friends. And probably a whole bunch of other shit we cannot predict right now.
Because every time we try, it comes out different.
And like I mentioned, this will be the fourth time we tried this. So at the risk of sounding rehearsed.
Tell them what we've been through to get here. Tell them the struggle. Tell them the approach.
Okay.
Yeah.
The approach. The very first time. Take one. March 2021. In a Suzuki Swift on the way to Bronchi's with two Bluetooth headphones. Earphones.
Two separate sets.
Separate sets of Bluetooth earphones. Only one bud in the ear so we can still hear each other speaking. Having a go. This was pre Chris Cossa part one. This was pre even, I think, almost just about the Instagram page.
Yeah.
Maybe just started. And we decided to try record an episode. And it was great fun. It was rubbish quality. If you ever try to record anything in a car, don't do it. Never mind the dirt road.
We were dumb, honestly. I was dumb trying to do that. I had no idea what I was doing.
I mean, ignorance is beautiful. Look at how much we've learned since then. That was still this year. Okay, seems like we haven't learned that much because this is, like I said, the fourth time we're trying to record this episode.
No, it couldn't have been this
year. It was this year, bro. Anyway, take two was just a hour or so ago when we were on Instagram Live with the intention of recording this episode while we chatted and like to our Instagram people.
Thank you so much for everyone who tuned in and asked questions. Thank you to Lloyd and Manu. You guys are super active on there.
It was adorable.
We'll get more into those questions. We'll bring them up again and chat about them. But for all your Insta Live people, thank you. We appreciate that you showed up for us.
And if you want to catch it, it's on our IGTV. Have a look and compare notes to how we tell things now about two more glasses of wine down. Got me interesting. Then take three was about 20 minutes ago where we started recording and it only caught the first minute. And we were so in it, guys. Just take a word for it. It was great.
Yeah, we were like hissed up and really connecting and chatting. And now we have to
try do again. It again. So, with all the enthusiasm of the first time recording, let's chat about how we met.
Again. We had a mutual friend and we went away on some weekends together and never really spoke to each other in between. We both studied at Tux.
Tux off next.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't climb for Tux though.
Dude, I just thought, all right, this didn't come up in the other three takes. I climbed for the first time at Tux. That's where I first got, no, I lie. First it was Wonderwall. Bless. Yeah. But I climbed at Tux a little bit.
Yeah.
I gave up after two tries because my forearms hurt. And I'd rather use these arms for drinking 2-for-1 vodka specials at Flair.
Mm.
That's how that happened.
Those vodka specials were the best.
And I think Minka had the same attitude because we didn't really hang out and we didn't know shit about each other, actually.
We just drank well together.
Look at us now. Oh, we've come full circle. But yeah, we had a couple of these weekends away with mutual friends. And then graduated and didn't speak for, it must have been about 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she pitched up at City Rock one day, having watched.
Oh, your video. Yeah, that was adorable.
The hashtag My City Rock video. I don't know if any of you City Rockers remember that campaign they did a few years ago. It was adorable. If you look on my personal Instagram, Amy_friend, you'll check my City Rock video and see some young Amy getting into climbing.
I was so empowered by the way that you did that. It was like I got into climbing for one person, but look at me, now I'm crushing.
I mean, I did not say crushing. At that point, I was still probably the laziest climber ever. I was there for the social. And if you didn't get that by the video. But that's the truth. I got into climbing for one person. I got into climbing with an ex-boyfriend of mine. And stuck around because of the community.
Mm.
Here we are now.
Yeah.
Adorable.
So, Amy needed a climbing partner, I guess.
I didn't know it at the time, I suppose. Actually, yeah. I just thought, who's this gal who's joined City Rock and isn't going to try climbing? Didn't even have a pair of shoes.
Crazy
Ridiculous.
Person.
Ridiculous.
Crazy person.
That was literally last year. That blows my mind.
Yeah. Then Amy was going to travel and she left us. She went all the way to Cape Town.
All the way to Cape Town. I was supposed to travel Europe for 8 months, but I made it to Cape Town.
If you'll let me speak. She went all the way to Cape Town to say goodbye to her friends and family there before traveling the world, working and traveling.
That was the plan.
Yeah. And then lockdown hit us all. And I felt called to connect with her.
I call this being courted. I felt courted. Minka made real effort to reach out to me. I remember one auspicious video call on WhatsApp. I don't even know if actually video was involved, but
there was definitely video.
Was there video?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So dark. And we got to know each other again. And it goes to show how little we actually spoke about anything of substance before that time because I didn't know how many brothers she had. I didn't even know what she'd been studying. We met at university. I don't think you knew what I was studying. Yeah, I mean, no idea. All you know is how the rubber arm works and the drinking games.
Do you jolt? Yes, you jolt. Let's jolt.
Speed coinage, to be exact.
Bro, that is the best game ever.
And the irony is, I mean, the one weekend away I'm remembering particularly cannot be more than a 45-minute drive from Boerman, actually.
Which one?
Dalstrom.
That's the truth.
Yeah. We were there. Didn't even have our tackies. Didn't even plan to go do anything outdoors.
We didn't take any clothes, shoes.
We had to go shopping.
Yeah, in the little town, we went to the only little clothing store. It's probably grown quite a bit.
Oh, gosh. It's definitely a thank you there.
And we went to a little
shout out, thank you. Sponsorship.
Why don't you quickly tell us about Senkyu? I don't even know the brand.
Senkyu is cool. I believe it has originated as a Lesotho-based brand. Oh, I could be so wrong. I could be talking such cuck right now.
Yeah.
But that's what I've heard via the grapevine. And they just seem to specialize in having shops in little towns where people go for weekends. Like there's one in Clarence, there's one. Like
what do they sell?
They sell outdoor gear. They also sell some nice tops.
Mm, they would have helped. We didn't take clothes shoes. We went to a...
They would have seriously helped. Hopper shoes. We had like little Tommy tackies.
Yes.
To go trapping.
And not even like super fake Tommy tackies.
They were so
bad.
A
purple and a
Those shoes
thing.
Where the inner liner comes out after the first time you wear it. One of those vibes.
That's exactly what happened even.
Regardless. Yeah. It's been a long time since then. So yeah, Minka joined City Rock.
Yes.
I got her outdoors.
We went to King's Kloof for Amy's birthday. And I did the 9 on the right. what crag is that? The Northwest Crag?
Yeah.
Northwest Crag.
Up the river.
Yeah. Someone else obviously led it for me. And then I went up on top rope and I look down and I see Ben standing at the bottom of the crag, just chilling out. Huge smile on my face. And I said, how have I done any sport ever other than this? Why? Why am I not doing this all the time? I was just exploding with adrenaline and fear and excitement and just geus. I just was full of geus and it made me so excited.
This cannot be surprising to you, our dear Sanders.
Minkus, I like geus. Climbing, can you imagine?
Minkus geus is like this never-ending, I don't know, torch.
So interesting that you said that. The theme, obviously, of this podcast is partnerships, mostly climbing partnerships. But you mentioning this geus has me thinking about something that I spoke to another business owner about the other day. I know, like, people have commented so much about my geus. I'm so excited that I get to share that with people. But for a long time, I felt like in the Sense space, that's, we needed that, and I was the only one that could provide that. And I don't always have geus. Nobody always has geus. It's not. It may seem like it, but there's a time when you also just need to not geus and just have a breather. And I was explaining to this person, I can't actually remember who I was talking, but I remember the conversation so vividly. I was explaining to them how when I didn't have geus, I was trying to still make you guys feel the geus, even though I wasn't feeling it, and it was just inauthentic.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think that sometimes the best way to motivate yourself is to motivate other people. That's why I yelled at that poor soul in Pilates the other day.
You yelled at them.
I was like, you got this, bro. Last 10 reps, we're dying. Natalie, shout out, bro. You really make us work hard.
Yes, thank you.
If you haven't tried out City Rocks Pilates classes, please do so. They will change your life and your posture. But I was struggling.
Mondays
at
7.
For now. I was struggling so hard those last few reps. And I just thought, someone's got to do with some motivation. I just started shouting at the guy next to me and it made me feel better.
It's the truth. That's the truth. Into the partnership as a business and diversifying it from a climbing partnership. I felt like I had to input geus, and even when I didn't have it, I was trying to do it inauthentically. And you know when someone's, you can do it and you can hear that.
You can hear it.
Yeah.
I know, because you call me out. And I'm just like, look at me trying. But it's inauthentic, you're right. Yeah.
You make a good point, though, about if you do encourage other people, then it's a fake it till you make it situation.
Sometimes it has to be.
There's a fine line, I think. Yeah. But I put too much pressure on myself for the geus, and then it didn't work.
And how's it going now?
The geus is back. It's more, so I'm finding more ways to make it sustainable.
Because like what it's ways? Like how?
We need to take a break from this thing. I pointed at the recording device. I can't actually remember the last time I recorded. It must have been with Kent.
Yeah.
Truth. A while ago.
Truth.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't there, but
I operated this thing so hard, I knew exactly what was happening.
Somehow we don't know how it's working now.
It's still red.
It's still going, thank goodness.
Make a point here, Minka, about business ship.
Oh, God. You just stop thinking.
Business partnerships versus climbing partnerships. It's okay not to be stoked all the time. Even if the thing that you deliver to the partnership or you feel like you add to the partnership is not always there, it's okay. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Must I put this glass of wine down?
No, it's fine. No, my add to that is it makes sense if you are secure in the commitment. So when I'm not feeling geus for the podcast, guys, I suck at Instagram. I'm trying my best here. It's not my favorite form of writing and communicating.
She's still a whole lot better than I am.
Yeah, that's how I got, what's the word, coerced into this business partnership. Minka was sucking at Instagram, basically.
She calls it Stockholm Syndrome.
I got Stockholm Syndrome into this flipping business. But the commitment is there to fall back on when you don't have the chias. And it's the same in our climbing partnership, and it's the same for the business. And it's just the security. And now with me immigrating and the fear that the chias is going to go, because I'm not in it now, I'm not here, I'm not seeing all of you lovely listeners every day, I've got to just trust the commitment and the overarching goal. So in terms of the sand space, it's the way we want to drive the community and that kind of stuff. That will never not be a good cause.
Yeah.
And in terms of climbing, I mean, it's so rewarding to commit to a climbing partnership and seeing your own climbing grow. Like, I never thought I could in a quite a short space of time, and watching someone else grow. And at times I think it felt frustrating, acting like you've made it now. But a testament to how much I loved having you join me on the at the crags was that I don't remember how much you sucked when you started. You must have sucked.
I must have been shocking.
I mean, like, you still make jokes that you don't have a body strength.
It's the truth. I still can't do a pull-up, but now I'm worried that I'm kind of proud of it.
And now maybe you're never going to do a pull-up just to prove a point. You can climb 25s without doing pull-ups.
Oh.
Ooh, is that possible? I don't know. We'll try.
There are definitely people that climb hard that aren't ripped and
yeah, sure,
all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We're right here on this couch. Hey, we climb hard. Doesn't mean we climb high grades.
Because it's hard for me to climb doesn't mean that I climb hard.
I dare to disagree with you. This is something that Chris said in one of our previous episodes. We don't care what you're climbing as long as you're trying fucking hard.
Yes, absolutely. And it is something that I love so much about climbing. I mean, Marlu and I can connect about suffrage, about just trying over and over and over. And yes, I'm talking about some ridiculous 16, like, into a corner somewhere. And he's talking about some grade that, honestly, is just inconceivable in my brain. And it's just trying hard.
It's exhausting. It gets tiring sometimes. But this is where the partnership comes in too. Sometimes you get tired of trying hard and suffering. And then you just, but then you've got a partner that's expecting you to show up. This actually brings me to something I've been thinking about, is our t-shirts.
Ooh.
So some of you may have seen us in our shirts that say, failure is part of the fun.
And not just us, they're everywhere, guys. I love seeing you guys wear our t-shirts.
It makes me so proud.
Yeah.
If you are interested in buying one, there's a link to the order form in the show notes. So failure is part of the fun. What does that even mean? Well, that means that if you can get good at being bad at things, like really just being okay with sucking in front of people, hating it, crying on that rock, crying in the gym maybe a little bit, and being frustrated, but recognizing that those are constructive experiences, you can learn from these experiences, they make you stronger, all of that, blah, 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 put me on a Hallmark card, it's the truth. It makes you better at doing everything. If you can get good at being bad at things, you can do anything. That is my mantra.
Preach. Preach.
And I think it goes for everything. It's the same with our business, with the Sand Space. You know, the three of us, myself, Minka, and Matt, we've obviously not gotten it right every time. We're like 6 months in.
We have no idea what we're doing.
This fourth recording is a flippant testament to that. But if you can come into it with an attitude of, look at us learning things, which has become another mantra. I'm actually so tired of hearing that's how much we fuck up. Then really, you become kind of indestructible almost.
Absolutely.
And that's the truth. And when you see your climbing partner acknowledging that, it's really lovely and really rewarding. And maybe this is a good segue, to use Minka's favorite word, into something one of our Instagram live audience members said, which is, do you like to climb with somebody who climbs harder than you, or you climb harder than them?
This is a question from Manu. thank you so much for all of your feedback on our Instagram live. It was great. Yeah. He wanted to know if we prefer to climb with people that climb harder than us and beta spray. Or if you...
And to give context, Minka and I, while we've been in a committed climbing partnership, we recently started swinging. I'm not entirely sure how it came about, but basically...
I know exactly what happened.
What happened?
You tell your story and I'll tell
you. I don't even know. All I know is I started climbing... here's what happened. Minka knew I needed to climb with somebody stronger and started trying to set me up is what happened.
I'm so glad that you recognized that because that's what happened.
It did happen. And thank you for reminding me because that was actually beautiful. And that's climbing partnership in itself. You recognize that maybe I could benefit from climbing with someone stronger?
Because I know that I benefit so much by climbing with people who climb stronger than I do. So that's true for us all.
Yeah, so I started climbing with Lloyd, and then where the hell did Manu come from? where did he come from, though? Point aside, the four of us have been in an open climbing relationship since then, and it's been interesting, and we've learned new things. And I'm, Lloyd's climbing, what is he doing? He's projecting, he could climb 24, he can.
I've seen him in the gym. He could lead a 24 outdoors.
In the gym, I've seen him do it. I think he could project, Rude Bushman is within his grasp, yeah.
For sure.
24 in Bourbon, yeah.
For sure. But I do also know that he's trying Gem Squash 22 and he didn't get it. And I'm mentioning it because Manu fucking sent it! Sent City!
Manu's the king. Anyway, point being, climbing with harder climbs. So what do you get out of it, Minka? And tell us your experience. When were you the harder climber?
Oh, lol. Okay. Firstly, Lloyd has this motto that he says, or that he's said to me more than once, is there is no failure.
Only feedback. He won't buy one of our shirts because he doesn't believe that failure is part of the fun.
But it's exactly what you were saying. It's so constructive and you can learn out of it. So he does fundamentally agree with you. He also just likes to...
be contradictory. What a shocker.
Classic. I love it that we are climbing with other people. I have learned so much from Manu. And honestly, my climbing has gotten so much better. His precision footwork, it's something magic. Do you know what I saw him do today? Okay. He was climbing a 19 close to the crack, leading. And he did an outside flag with his left foot with a toe hook in the crack. So he's crossing his left foot over his right foot and toe hooking. And then also moving from there. It was...
Left foot behind his right foot.
Left foot behind.
That's beautiful. I can see it for him.
Dude, it was so amazing. I was impressed. I was impressed.
It's nice to be impressed.
Yeah. I've learned so much from him. And we share a, whatever you like to call it, a limitation or whatever. He also gets that stanky leg. The Elvis tremble. When you get nervous, it just trembles, and he taught me how to climb through it. For those of you who want to know a good trick, drop your heel. Works like a charm. Also, accept in yourself that as soon as you get the Elvis leg, it's not over. The game's not over. It's not over. And that is the biggest thing that I learned from him, is that motivation just to push straight through it. And the more often I do it, the more surprised I am at how much further I can push through it.
And as another benefit of non-monogamous climbing partnerships, this is something you've passed on to me. You were so excited you learned this thing. You came and told me, I can't say I often get the stanky leg, but it definitely hits me. And it hit me at that trad clinic with Benny.
Oh, that stemming.
We stemmed up that, what was the name of that climb?
Callisto's Crack.
Callisto's Crack.
16 in Cedarburg Kloof.
In Michaelisburg. And... I mean, we top roped it, then we seconded it. It was fun. But that stanky leg was getting me hard.
When you lead, the game changes.
And if I'd known then, what I know now, that you've learned from Manu, it would have been great. Yeah, so don't just stick to one person. There's lots to be learned. Mm. Having said that, you know, looking at planning for this weekend, it's the opening of Iron Throne Crag in Hearties. Super I'm so stoked excited about for it. That.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm moving out of my house. There's logistics, things are happening. And it appears that I may be there basically solo, like not with our lovely swinging crew. And I don't trust any old be there no more.
Oh, me neither.
Oh, no. I actually am changing my plans for the weekend. My moving day is rearranged because I would rather inconvenience everyone who's helping me move than to risk getting a bad catch.
Dude, this is something that we, have not spoken about yet. Amazing. So I have learned the value of a good catch through this climbing partnership. Because in the beginning, it was really just me. I had just had to learn how to belay so that you could climb. And just keep up. And then you start doing research into what belaying really is. And then you get
start doing research. Amy just doesn't make it, does it? Too.
I did share the link. She didn't look at them. It's not my fault.
I didn't. I will not open a link people send me. God, I'm too busy for that shit.
Lol. And then I got a bad catch. And I had an injury for a while. It turns out that I'm just one of those climbers that's always injured. But back then, I didn't know that. I thought it was a big deal.
I object to Minka's assessment of herself. I feel that anyone who climbs that frequently with so little conditioning related to climbing is going to get injured a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, think back on what kind of movement habits did you have before climbing? Yoga, for sure. Mm. Rowing, but much, much like previously.
I had no upper body strength. Yeah. No, I didn't. Honestly, I didn't know what upper body strength was. Now, I still don't have upper body strength, arguably, but I know what it is.
Arguably, you don't. Like, tip of the iceberg, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know that it exists.
The more you know, you don't know. To risk being cliche. It's the truth, though.
It turns out that all those cliches are true. Did you hear that?
I love cliches. I don't know if you once again, seeing our t-shirts, guys, that's going to become a cliche. Oh,
is that in this recording? That's interesting.
I honestly have no idea. I think so, though, yes.
Yeah.
I love cliches. They exist for a reason. And, one day I hope the failure as part of the fun becomes a cliche we hear from, like, some random person, I don't know, in a completely different sport.
Fuck you!
Watch one day the Springboks lose the World Cup.
No!
And Faf du Plessis goes on Super Sport and says, failure's part of the fun.
Oh, no. I'll still take it, though.
I'll take it.
I'll take it. Yeah.
Lose for the Springboks. It's a win for the Saints face.
Now we're just getting redonkulous.
That is a fun reality. That's not redonkulous. The very first episode we talked about, like, rugby barriers to entry versus climbing barriers to entry. One day climbing shoes are in Mr. Price Sport. Oh, I don't think we're far from that. But first, let's get Decathlon to improve their stock.
I've been working on it. Jonathan, I'm looking at you.
Minka works so hard, guys. She is our business development manager, if we're going to get corporate about it.
I'll take it.
It's the truth.
Yeah, it's been really interesting starting a business in this sector. Most of you know I'm in law professionally, and that's a little bit of a different industry. And it's been a lot of fun. It's also been a lot of fun working with such cool people in something that I'm so passionate about.
What have we learned about climbing businesses in the past few months?
Ooh. Sure. This chick.
It's a loaded.
Okay, before this interview, she was like, Minka, you're not going to, what did you say?
Put you on the spot.
Yeah, you're not going to put me on the spot, huh? You're not going to, no, Amy, I would never do that to you. Look at what she's just done.
That's not what she said. She said, I might if it comes up. Here it is. What have you learned about climbing businesses? Not just ours, but those you've observed.
Honestly, I'm hearing a lot of people and a lot of brands saying the same thing, but they're not talking to one another. And I don't understand why. It just makes sense to me that if you have the same goals and whatever, that you would align those goals. It's just easier to work together.
But their competition. Well, not all the brands.
Yeah, across the board.
So we're talking, let's put this into practical terms. We're talking coaching companies, climbing gyms, equipment
accommodation places.
Okay, I see.
All of it.
Yeah, okay.
The industry.
Across the board.
They all have the same aims and the same goals. And they're the same aims and goals as the same space. And they are not working together. And I don't understand why. And I think it's because we don't know about the politics.
Mm.
And we've spoken so much about how it's beneficial to not... Everyone says, oh, watch out for this and watch out for, you know, maybe they're not going to be keen on it because of some politic thing. We just don't get into it. And maybe that's better.
Yeah, I think so far it's been a bit of a competitive advantage, so to say, although literally, like, black and white, we have no competitors because there's no other climbing podcast. But our competitors is arguably, like, all climbing-related content, which any climbing brand can put out. So what is it that's working? We try stay independent, that helps.
Mm.
But I'm talking more of the operations of things.
Oh, yeah?
Minka's become a bit of a business coach for myself, and I'm not the only person in the climbing community. I know she's helping formulate their business ideas into bankable projects. And I think between the two of us, probably in different, they've presented in different ways, but I think we've seen people don't take themselves seriously, or they expect to not be taken seriously by others. And it's just a limitation.
Absolutely. And it's something that I have dealt with and am still dealing with. I mean, guys, imposter syndrome. It's a real thing. For sure. As soon as you think you have a good idea, the first thing is like, oh, no, that can't work. Surely not. Surely I'm not cool enough to do that. Surely I'm not good enough to do that. Whatever the limitation is that you... I'm not clever enough. I'm not... Whatever, we've all got our insecurities, and that's the one that you're going to choose to limit yourself with. So before I started the Sane Space, or we started the Sane Space, the limitation that was on me, the insecurity that I felt coming into the industry was that I'm actually a rubbish climber. I haven't been climbing for a long time. She shouts at me when I say that.
Rubbish grades. I'm not the only one who shouts at you. I can count many guests before me who've said, rubbish grades. What is rubbish grades?
Yeah.
What are rubbish grades?
I climb low grades. I don't climb very hard. I climb like 16, 17, 18, 19, maybe.
I see you doing some things. There was a 20.
Yeah.
Orange one on the purple wall.
Yeah, I know.
I saw it happening. Anyway, besides the point. Point being, we all come up with our excuses.
Yeah, and my insecurity was that I don't climb well enough to... I don't know, run a podcast about climbing. So the way that I work through that limitation is to reach out to some of the old guard, or I guess I would consider him, some of the old guard in who's been climbing for a long time.
The OGs.
The OG! And I effectively ask permission, and we can get into why I felt that was necessary. Is it a patriarchal thing? Blah, 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 blah. All of that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, my insecurity was that I don't climb well enough. Who am I to start a podcast? Yeah.
Good thing grades don't matter. Refer to episode 7 with Ken Jennings.
I actually have had someone come up to me trying to convince me of whatever the point was he was making and used the words, and I climb 30. As a like a
convincing source. Yes, argument,
as a persuasive tool.
Get fucked.
Please use that in. Under no circumstances do we edit that out ever. But grades do matter. Well, to a lot of people, grades matter. If you're not climbing this hard, I actually think I've done a write up. I'm going to advertise it here. I've done a write-up for our Patreons. Go and check it out. This gives me a deadline to post it.
Gives me a deadline to edit it. I was talking about the rubbish rambling / semi-coherent / what are we calling it now?
I can't remember.
Minka's diary entries.
I think it'll be fun. How many of you have climbing diaries? It was supposed to be kind of like a climbing diary. You read it. But basically, through that process, through diarizing about climbing and about this business, I came up with, if you think me climbing low grades doesn't give me a seat at the table, I'm sorry to hear about your struggle.
Oh, then you're at the wrong table, I'm afraid.
Mm.
It's a load of rubbish, honestly. But people will always, I guess it's human nature to look for ways to size up other people. That is how we all operate. It is our social survival mechanism. And grades are a very convenient way to put a label on something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I catch myself doing it, especially when I see women climbing.
Mm.
I always want to check that grading card at the base of their route. But it's like, I like to think in my context, I'm looking for inspiration. But you best believe I'm looking for competition, actually. But it's the truth. This is a natural knee-jerk reaction, I think. Not to say it's right.
Amy is quite competitive. She'll tell you that she's not, or she's told me that she's not. But have you just heard this?
I tell myself that it's not that I'm competitive. It's that maybe I don't see myself doing that route. I don't even maybe see that I can link the moves together until I see someone else do it. And then I want to do it because, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Is that competitive or is that just like inspired?
I guess a bit of both.
A bit of both.
Healthy competition's a thing.
I'm definitely a bit competitive. I mean, there's no doubt about that, but...
Like, I say I couldn't give rocks about what other people do, but I don't think that's entirely true.
Of course not.
I do love to compete against myself, though.
I think let me not speak to everybody, but I think it's a thing in climbing. I hate team sports, so any competition I can do to just compete with myself.
I love team sports.
I know, fuck that. I actually had this conversation with my sister-in-law, my brother's fiance. We were talking about sports. My brother was in a squash final. And I was like, oh, yeah, I love individual sports because if you lose, you lose by yourself. And if you win alone, that's fine. Like, you can't blame anyone else. There's no weird dynamics going on. And she was like, no way. I love team sports because then when we lose, no one can just blame me.
That's the truth. But also that team victory, there is nothing like a team victory.
I don't
know
what that feels like. Because I think literally the only team sport I've actually played was like, I was the only girl on a really bad all-boy soccer team in primary school. I don't know, we were terrible. And then I played polo cross and got thrashed every time. Because guys... ball skills while on a horse galloping across the field, fucking hard.
That sounds hard.
Loads of fun though.
I wanna circle back to your competition. Why are you only looking at the women? Why aren't you competing with the men? Because you could give them a run for their money.
I appreciate that, some of them.
Well, it's actually, Marnu said it the other day.
What did he say?
That you could, push his grades?
Yeah, I really could. I mean, if I've learned anything in the last year of our climbing partnership, is that if I actually work towards a goal, I can do it.
Mm.
I sent my project in 6 attempts. That's not a lot, actually. It's not a lot at all. Considering that I went in thinking it will take me forever to get up Toolbox. It's long. It's hard.
Mm.
4-star 21 in Boven. In my style.
Recommending?
Highly recommended. Oh,
After the foot broke off. So this chick, broke the foothold off of both of our projects. Thanks, brah.
Yeah, so Minka picked Jenga, bless her, because it was next to Toolbox pretty much. And it's a classic.
Too convenient. They right next to one another. It's my grade. It's your grade. What are we going to do?
So they share a start and then, on attempt number 3, broke off the foothold, the starting foothold.
And the hands, I was already struggling
with. Yeah, and the hands are quite a reach from there. And without a good foot, it does become a bit of a challenge. But regardless, look at you. Failure's part of the fun. You've got that start down now. That's fine.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I cheesed it. Remember?
Hey, if the bolt clipped and you end up starting on happy endings 24 to the right, well, then that's just
and
fine.
Doing a tricky traverse. It's just easier when it's so bunched. I'm so short, guys.
You're not that short.
I've I've had to accept that as part of myself to understand my climbing style.
Yeah, and I'm privileged. So I am the height of the average man in South Africa. I'm average man height. That is 1.76 meters tall. So yeah, I guess I need to shut up.
Because 1.76. Oh, you're entire 10 centimeters taller than me.
Yeah, and I think I'd probably
10 centimeters is a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah, I'm sure I take it for granted, actually. And interesting, yeah. Seeing Lloyd climb, you know, not too different in height, I don't think.
No, you're about the same. I think he might have a bigger span.
He's definitely got a bigger span, but when I see him reach...
Oh, can we just...
It doesn't make me as jealous as it might make you.
I just know that I'll never get there. It's just inconceivable. For those of you who... I don't even know if we've got people that listen to this podcast that are not climbers. I have dreams and I have hopes that my family will listen. I don't think it's going to happen. A span. Explain it.
Well, it's the length of your arms, palm to palm with your...
I'd probably say tip to tip, actually.
Tip to tip, yeah. Middle finger to middle finger with your arms open like you're about to, I don't know, belly flop.
When I saw Kent span this couch, it was majestic.
Yeah, I know.
It was majestic.
It's in episode 7. Your reactions. Guys. Your reaction's right there.
It was I was playing it cool like a motherfucking cucumber right there.
Now she's 3 glasses of wine down and she's like, OMG.
Dude, it was crazy. It was crazy. His span, oh my goodness, his span is even longer than my height.
And we talked about, he talked about me watching him do some yoga shit and being shocked at his flexibility. That's the span and the flexibility combined is like a whole other story. I mean, what it started with, he has been very sweet in like giving a bit of coaching to, well, it was me, like some of the gym managers, like the females specifically. And I got to like tag along on a few sessions. And basically him just trying to teach people that a high step and open your hips and all these things is a thing. He just went straight up from standing to popping one of his legs onto a box maybe 1.20 meters from the ground. Just popped his foot up. Done. Hips done. No bend in the knee that's still on the floor. No like buckle of the hips. Just straight up there. Like pigeon pose on drugs. It was ridiculous. And that's the moment he was talking about in that episode where I was just like, boy, you gotta be crazy. Because sorry, Ludwig, my darling boyfriend, I don't think he can touch his toes.
Bless.
Like he can't, if he's lying on his back, like his traps are so tight, his head can't touch the ground.
He started doing yoga though, and I saw that getting much better.
Oh, he did, bless him. He's embraced the opportunity to try some new movement patterns. And I think that's
amazing.
I think that's addictive. I think that's what gets a lot of people into climbing.
Do you know how pissed off
I was?
Spice, love you dearly. He carries in a lot of our gear.
He's a pack mule. We've discussed great. This. Episode great. 6 Jenny's of Jenny.
But he was better than climbing than me.
I don't climb longer. He came in, I remember specifically this really nice yellow 18 in the corner. Super sweet. Minka knows she can get it. But I mean, she hasn't gotten it yet. Spies comes in like day 2. I don't even think he had a membership yet. It was like open day. And he basically campuses it because his technique is so bad, he doesn't know how to use his feet.
But he can do 100 bagazillion pull-ups.
And there you go. I mean, imagine if we could do like 100.
Do you know that route? I know I can remember that route. I would probably be able to reset that route. There was heel hooks and toe hooks and like a lot of fun climbing.
He appreciated none of it.
None of it. He literally just went pops, 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 hands, the whole way.
But that means, you know, you can just feel better in wallowing in pity you have for poor Spies, who's not getting the full fun of climbing because he doesn't have to do technique. But it's fine because you put him on anything higher than a 19 and he cucks because suddenly you need to use your feet and he's learning.
I believe that what I'm doing now, climbing lower grades, focusing on like how to use my body is going to benefit me later, like more than I know.
It will, but I think so. I have. How's your shoulder doing? Tell me. Okay, Minka's been a little bit injury ridden.
The injuries.
How's the shoulder going?
Do you know what? I'm finally committed to the shoulder.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm finally committed to the rehab.
I heard you
shoulder.
Make a note to yourself the other day about rehab.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for my 30th birthday in July, I've set myself some crazy goals.
Oh, tell us about them.
I don't know how crazy they are, and I don't know how I'm going to do it because I won't have a speed wall. But it's a 30-second speed climb, 30 laps in the pool. That's pretty easy. A 30-minute 5K. I'm really working on that.
You're close as well.
I'm close. I'll be even closer when I'm running below sea level in the Netherlands. I'll get it the day I land. In fact, I better. It's the best chance I've got. Couple other things, but included in that is Ludwig challenged me to 30 pull-ups. Now, that's not in a row. It's throughout the day. So I have basically 24 hours to do all of these things on my 30th birthday.
But how will I be relatable to the other people if I can do a pull-up? I don't know if
it's... No, they're going to join you on your journey. My question is, Minka and I have been discussing fun ways to foster the climbing partnership long distance.
Oh, it's been beautiful. We've even been to couples therapy.
We went to couples therapy. Nice. We wanted to record it. Let's be real. We both wanted to record that.
We should have.
We're going to do it. We're going to go back. It's cool. We're going to do Zoom therapy every, 6 weeks, we said?
We'll make it open for the Patreon subscribers. Yeah, I was about to
say, Patrons, you want me and Minka on...
those people are like, guys, you're not that cool.
On the therapy... Honestly, I'd pay, $4 to watch strangers in therapy. That could be hella interesting.
Truth, truth.
Anyway, point being, Do you think that as one of these exercises we have in fostering long distance, relationships, we can get on a pull-up program? Is your shoulder ready for that?
My shoulder is probably in the right place for that.
By my 30th birthday, can you commit to, 2 pull-ups?
Three. I'll go with 10% of yours.
I believe you can do it.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was in this episode or in the previous
The other three times you tried.
I still can't do a pull-up. And I'm maybe kind of proud of that now.
Well, it makes you relatable. That's what you were saying earlier.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that start climbing and can't do a pull-up. But guys, you don't need to be able to do a pull-up.
Well, for sure. People think it's a barrier to entry. Oh, my upper body strength is so bad. I can't do climbing. And I'm like, well, that's just a load of bullshit, actually.
It is a load of
BS. Have you met the crash?
Yeah.
That's just a ladder.
I didn't have any upper body strength. I now have a little bit of upper body strength.
You got to start somewhere. But, I mean, we're probably preaching to the converted over here because our newly 180 regular listeners... Up from 150, guys.
Hi, 180 people. Hi, we are so excited about
extra
you.
30 people. Stoked about it. Well, you're probably all climbers already, but maybe some of you feel like you have imposter syndrome, like you're not strong enough, you're not climbing hard enough. Just try fucking hard on whatever it is you're on. You'll know when you're lying to yourself. You do. You know. You know when you're making excuses.
Yeah. I don't actually know. I've been going through this thing with the injuries, it's rubbish. It's rubbish to try hard. So you're really attempting to try hard, but you just get shut down by some rubbish injury.
Yeah.
But maybe a pull-up program is exactly what my shoulder needs. It's definitely been responding quite well to the handstand, the headstand, which is going well.
Oh, great news. Yeah, that's a lot of shoulder stability needed. I think it's a good idea.
Cool.
And this is something that Ludwig was telling me.
Okay.
And I'm so tired of hearing it.
Okay, so let's actually set a proper goal. Here we're doing it. Guys, in climbing partnerships, in business partnerships, I'll probably say in relationship as well, but this is something that Amy will be better to comment on. Setting goals is really important.
It is important. It is. Because it allows you to, A, acknowledge where potentially you're shortcoming at the moment. And then, the ease of peace of mind that you get when you set a goal, knowing that you're actually on a program to correct this thing where there's been a deficit, is amazing. So as an example, you want to talk relationship. We've just relocated. We're starting fresh. Ludwig and I have... done whatever we need to do to make sure our dogs are overseas. We set up. We're doing our thing. That's not cheap. And it's very stressful. So.
It's an incredible amount of money. Dude, I'm proud of you for doing it. There's too many people that don't do it. It's a huge commitment. And it's maybe more money than I would be willing to pay. I don't know. JC's outside. Don't let her hear it.
When I realize it's like triple the amount I'd ever spend on a wedding, I realize I'm more committed to my dogs than anything in the world. Point being, we realized basically we're starting fresh. I've been out of varsity for like, oh my God, I don't want to think about how long.
Can't be that long. 7 years?
Yeah, ish.
7, 8.
I've been working for a while.
6, 7 years.
We basically
got here a decade because we went to.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Not a matric for 10 years. We're basically starting fresh. We've set financial goals for ourselves now. We need to take things seriously.
What financial goals have you set, just a little bit?
The amount, mainly to do with retirement savings.
Oh, that's adorable.
The amount of people who are, old people above the age of 60 who are coming to me wanting to work for me at the moment is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's terrifying. And goal setting is a way for me to push that terror into a constructive shape. Yeah, for sure. And then there's climbing partnerships. Setting in that goal for toolbox was amazing because, first of all, I had no idea how hard or easy it was going to be to achieve that goal. Looking back, the mental block I had towards it was enormous. I thought it would take me until the end of this year. I did it in.
Your gains have been immense.
They were. Did you see me climbing today? I died. But it's because I had a goal. Without that, you're just floating around. And I've never been a goal-oriented person. Never, ever, ever, ever. At some point in my previous relationship, Julian challenged me to set a goal, and I did mid my mile. And it was amazing, and then I did it once, and then I never saw him again, basically. But, you know, what it does feel self-esteem as well is incredible. So probably now, you've set a goal of 3 push-ups by July next year.
Pull-ups.
Pull-ups, sorry.
But probably something more realistic. What does the program look like?
I literally have no idea. I mean, I think it's...
How many pull-ups can you do now?
Like 3, maybe 2.
Okay, so you
want... Depends how good we're looking at form.
No, form has to be right.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Form has to be right.
So maybe, like I said, 2.
Okay. And hands, palms facing away from you.
So not a chin-up.
Not a chin-up. Yeah, we have to be real about these things. We have to... Tucked the whole thing. Hey?
Gotta be proper, yeah.
Gotta be.
So the suggestion is, you know, be able to do 10 and then you're doing 3 sets throughout the day.
Okay, okay.
So it doesn't have to be in a row. Okay. The point is to just do all of these things within 24 hours on my birthday.
That changes the game. Whoa.
So maybe you can do 10.
Yeah. I could, you know what? Fuck it, I'm gonna do 30.
Be audacious, yes!
Fuck it, I'm going to do this. This is what happened at All Mountain Festival.
This is what happens when Minka drinks wine and agrees to do physical activities.
It's the truth.
Do you have someone special in your life? A dedicated belay buddy or a climbing partner? Why not show them how much you appreciate not being short roped, dropped or lowered at light speed? We've arranged a special offer from Black Diamond, giving you 10% off your purchase from their snazzy new online shop. Visit blackdiamondequipment.co.za and spoil your buddy with the new helmet, belay device, or anything they need with the code BD for buddies at checkout. That's BD number 4 buddies, one word. We tried the shop for ourselves and finally got our own nut pick. The site is easy to navigate, and with each product, you can see if it's available locally or needs to be shipped from the US, so you have an idea of delivery time. We got our order the next day. You can pay with SnapScan, EFT, or a bank card. Easy as that. Go on, spoil your buddy. Climbing solo? Then go ahead, spoil yourself. You know you want to.
We used to train together quite a bit.
Used to. That past tense phrase makes me sad. But if I'm being honest with myself, that's the fact. I mean, in so many things. I feel like all I do now is run, actually.
The ability to be so flexible about it, I think, is why we have such a strong partnership. Because you can't just crash all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
And for it, I mean... I've asked you this question before. How long do you want to be climbing? I remember we were at Kingskloof doing City Rocktober. And effectively at the time I said 10 years for me. I want to climb till I'm 40. Because I honestly thought that my physical limitations, that's what it would allow. Now that I've been working on my body and seeing what's possible, a year later, maybe 20 years, maybe 30, maybe until I die.
Until we can't no more.
Yeah, but when is that? So how do we make it sustainable for 20 or 30 years? You don't take it too seriously. You take it just seriously enough.
It's a balance like anything with climbing, with pushing yourself and pushing your partner versus knowing your limits. It's a very difficult line to tread. When am I being too easy on myself or you, you know, and when do I need to let you down? You know, it's so tough.
Something that Manu mentioned on our Instagram live as well, the longer you've been climbing with someone and what makes a climbing partnership something other than just a belayer is you've been climbing long enough to know when to push one another.
Truth.
Yeah.
And then you get those moments when you're trying to indoctrinate new climbers. And it's tough. I forgot what it's like. And obviously, we must have gone through this at some stage. But again, my memory is just sunshine and daisies. But I took my sister-in-law climbing. And I have no idea what her mental state is on the wall. All I knew is that she was terrified of heights. But from the first 5 minutes, she already exceeded my expectations. And then what happens after that? How much do I push you? How much do I trust that you will push yourself? It's a whole dialogue. Let's keep things interesting. But to go back to your in 10 years. Since then, I think you and I have agreed to do some big walls within 10 years. Sleep on a rock.
Yes, please can we set some climbing goals right now in our climbing partnership?
By the time we're 40, we're gonna do some big walls.
So, what is a big wall for you?
We sleep on the wall at least 2 nights.
Okay.
But I know that doesn't mean height, but that is relating to our ability to climb that much in that day. At that time.
Yeah.
I'll take maybe 1 night to start.
Yeah, we're gonna practice, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm most excited for. I'm most excited for some ridiculous local crag just going up there and trying to figure out how to set up a portal edge. Today I asked on Instagram, I haven't even checked the results yet, can you do yoga on a portal edge? Is it possible?
Well, depends which poses you pick. If you're going to do fire log, I bet you it is.
Imagine doing a headstand on a portal edge. Bro, my mind is blowing with how orgasmic that could be.
We should, for starters, try the yoga on those long boards.
Oh, the SUP boards. That's hard. Have you ever tried standing on a SUP board?
But I want to try.
It's hard.
But going back to cliches, was it this recording or the other? I don't know. But it's not about the journey. No.
Failure is part of the fun. No?
It's not about the journey. The destination. It's about the journey. Journey before destination. Yeah, cool. It'll be great suffrage to do big wall climbing, but the goal setting and the journey to get to that.
Yeah.
It's going to be hella interesting.
Yeah, especially how are we going to manage that now?
I'm imagining us on like King's Cliff with a portal edge.
That's exactly what all Harry Smith or something. No, bro. You need an actual face for that. We're on that. No.
Yeah, no.
We'll probably, I guess, go and blow big. There's no bolts there. Are we going to portal edge on track? How does this even work? I don't know anything about this.
I'm moving to Europe. I don't know if you heard. I'll scope it out. There's a multi-pitch in Belgium not too far from where I'm going to be living. Let me scope that out. Yeah, how cool is this? I can potentially, if I can know this to be true, take public transport to a crag. That blows my mind. Like, I can just get on a bus and then there's a little dorpy. And there's a face, a multi-pitch face there. And people, amazing. For all of you people, okay, I did this to myself a few episodes ago, telling me I'm moving to a flat motherfucking country. 2 hours from where, that I'm like in five other different countries and there's loads of climbing opportunities. Two hours from Joburg and Johannesburg, which is amazing. I mean, I'm not trying to say it's not good. What I'm saying is just a little bit of driving or taking the bus to get
it's
to
so
some
cool that
cool
you
opportunities.
Can, yeah, so
and, yeah, maybe I'll invest in a sense-based portal edge. Maybe one day we'll be doing an episode from up there. I mean, we kind of tried an Instagram live from the second pitch on Cogman's Buttress walking on sunshine. And
third pitch? Second pitch.
Third pitch, yeah, actually, third you're pitch. Right. It was before we descended into hell, basically.
Wind. There was so much wind is what she's talking about. We tried to do an Instagram live and it was a little bit of a nightmare, really.
I mean, the live was fine, but then after that, no, the wind on the Instagram live is fucking nothing. It was the rope blowing back up at you when you're trying to, when you're trying to descend. And I have some friends who had been trading in Drakensberg and got struck by lightning, and there was a whole episode. They all survived. Maybe one day we can get them on the show. Maybe part of the community episode. That
amazing.
Would be
amazing.
In fact, that needs to fucking happen. Daniel Rimbold, you best send me a voice note.
This is coming out after the closing date happens, so you best reach out to him.
I will.
For those of you who are listening right now, stay tuned. There's a community episode coming out for episode 10. I'm going to take this opportunity to tell all of you about it. I'm super excited, and I'm mostly just nervous that we don't get any submissions.
Yes, we are definitely going to have to solicit them, and Daniel Rimbold's one of them. Point being, they had an incident with some lightning.
Mm.
Somebody lost consciousness. There was a whole thing going on. Anyway, so I'm on Cargill's buttress. We've just done our Instagram live. Minka's descending. The rope is everywhere. I mean, like, divide gravity.
And I'm even using this cool trick that Kent taught us about, like, making a handbag with your rope. I'm doing the things.
She's trying her hardest.
Yeah.
And it's just terrifying. And then I just see, like, this wall of cloud and doom coming towards us. And I just think of Daniel Rimbold. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is what it means to fear for your life on a climb. But, yeah, we got down safely eventually. We made a bit of a call about doing the last two pitches in one rappel, but it was fine. The rope just touched the ground if you, like, skirted to the side and hopped onto a ledge kind of vibe. But we got there. It was loads of fun.
I'm really grateful that we had done quite a bit of, like, rappelling with a number of different, let's call it instructors or more experienced people to help us guide through that. I was really paying attention in those times because that could be scary.
And I could see you paying attention, and I wish I could, like, give you some of my attention to add to your attention paying, because there's nothing I could do. All I could do is stand at the top of there hoping you're going as fast as you can, which, okay, climbing partnerships, I'm trusting that you are, and I know that you are because I know that we fucking operate.
Mm.
And, yeah, just sitting there, and that's ultimately, what comes down to with a climbing partnership, you're putting your life in someone's hands a lot of the time. You know, something really silly can. I mean, there was a point where one of the knots got untied itself at the end of the rope because of the wind and the chaos. I think that's what we established. That it was not a figure eight. It was just like this overhand, and then it just came out at the end of a knot. And you specifically, in engaging in all your climbing content before starting the podcast, I think, had latched onto this thing about, like, just rappelling off the end of your rope.
Check your knots. Thanks, Enormacast.
Exactly. And there it was. And I don't even know how you spotted it. This rope just, like, flew over the back of your shoulder. And you were like, there was a knot in that rope. Because on the previous rappel, it had come out.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris Calouse.
We gotta tag him in
those. We gotta tag him. You'll be so proud of that, because that's exactly the knot that he's talking about.
Yeah.
For so many reasons.
It's important. It's important. Okay, but if you learn anything, figure eight trumped overhand in the wind.
Yeah. I actually don't know what happened to that knot. What knot was in there. I'm not I can't remember. But I just knew that I picked it up, and that was great. Gelukkig.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, you have to trust your climbing partner. It's scary sometimes. It's so scary. This experience climbing a little bit more trad has brought that really to the front of my mind for a lot of it.
Jealous of your trad experience.
Oh, yeah?
What have I been doing with my life that I haven't been on all these missions with you? Like, what have I been up to?
I don't know.
But I've been thinking about it because I was saying earlier, like, your mental game and your trad game is so strong.
Was that on this recording? Or was that earlier in our brain? I was it earlier today. I don't know.
Regardless, point being, you're crushing that shit. It's something that seems so out of reach for me at the moment. But then I think back on all, like, these little excursions you've had, climbing with Benny and Mal, doing Clawface, and we had pre-Clawface?
No, we were in Boven.
We were in Boven. But, like, a lot of experiences, and that just adds up.
Mm.
Do you feel like there's been, talking about, like, mentorship and stuff, has there been a particular person that's helped with your trad journey? Could you pin it down?
Yes, absolutely. There's a number of people that have played a huge role.
So a number of people, but that's not different to, like, one mentor.
Yes.
That's no trad dad.
No, it's no trad dad.
Mm.
Let me see where it started. Firstly, I think Alyssa being so ready to open to us, she basically said, guys, what do you want to climb? I'll help you. And it was just incredible to see a woman being so strong and so chilled and so in it. It invigorated me. It really did. So she's definitely been a huge, huge part of it. Just that one day trip. I mean, as soon as we were on that second pitch and I was having the time of my life, I was like, I could lead this. I could lead
this. And then you motherfucking did.
And then more recently I did do it. And it was, you know what? I actually think it was proper climbing. That second pitch is not, like, it's spice.
Woo! That second pitch gives me heartburn.
It's spice. It's spice.
It just feels exposed, which is silly because there's like a whole multitude of crack systems and backhands and palms and feet.
And there's so many things to use, so many things to stand on, so many things to, yeah. But it's lovely. It was really a lovely experience.
But you know what I also maybe think has helped? Like, you've actually fallen on trad, yeah. You have a lot. In relative terms.
So
I've never fallen on trad, yeah. Okay, not that I've timed a huge amount, but like...
What did you do at the clinic? So this is...
Okay, we tested gear. We sat on gear while on top rope, basically.
I've never taken a trad lead fall, but I've fallen on someone else's gear. This brings
trad lead fall. Okay, yeah. Okay, you've not fallen on your own gear.
No.
But I mean, that's not necessarily any better because you don't know their placement thought process.
This is exactly how we got to trusting your climbing partners.
Yeah.
And how trad has really...
Full circle.
And the next person I would probably talk about is Benny. He's made it so accessible for free. Guys, Benny...
Need more people like him.
Dude, and the first time I went on one of his clinics, I shouted at him and I couldn't believe that he was telling me what to do. But it was actually exactly why we were all there.
Lo and behold, what do you know? That's the point of a clinic.
Yes. Sorry, Benny.
Ben Meister.
And then Amy rocks up and just shouts Ben Meister, and it was hilarious. Anyway,
Stockholm Syndrome people.
Benny has been instrumental in making the knowledge accessible. He is so, firstly, knowledgeable, passionate, and just also easy to talk to. He's so stoked to talk about trad gear.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about being accessible, I mean, you say it's your lack of being able to do pull-ups. He only started climbing at, 50 or something ridiculous. He just turned 60. He's been climbing for 8 years, I think.
He started at 58. Yeah, he was cycling before.
58, no, but he's turned 60, so he hasn't been climbing for 2 years. 52?
He's been climbing for about 8 years. Yeah, he's been climbing for about 8 years, and he just turned 60. So, 52.
Yeah, Ben Meister Soz. He's spewing your age all over the sand space. But it's the truth. It's flippin' cool. It makes you relatable. Like, it's never too late to start. And then crush. Yes.
But crush. And looking stronger now than ever. He's retired and he's just climbing.
I mean.
Crushing.
Sorry, he's just crushing. Dad, if you ever listen to this. I mean, if I had to put my dad and Benny next to each other, I'd think my dad is like Benny's father. My parents are so inactive. Bless my mom's trying, but honestly, I didn't have very good role models. Let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, talking about mentorship and trad.
Wait, can I finish this? Okay. Benny's been instrumental, but I think my partnership with Manu has definitely been a big catalyst for my trad experience. And having someone that's willing to commit to my trad climbing, again, Manu knew that I wanted to lead Hawkseye. I had mentioned that I wanted to lead it after Alyssa took us up there. And we had set some goals for Clearfest. But then, honestly, the high line happened. And I exploded. It was incredible. Mentorship in a whole other way. Yeah, I'm happy to talk about that as well. But getting back to trad, I didn't accomplish my goal on that trip, the goal that I had. But I also set a really cool goal for him. Just asked some recommendations, got this thing, and then it was turned out to be Red Corner 17. A hard 17. It was the consensus before we went in. It was a hard 17. Alistair looked at me and he was like, "Are you sure?" And I said, "I'm sure, let's go." Oh, actually, I looked at Mona and I was like, "Are you? It's not me."
Yeah, you're there.
I'm just coming.
Wait. Yeah, I mean, I was second for days.
Yeah. Alistair was surprised that I did it. I think we spoke about this. He was it was pretty funny. And Manu crushed it basically in one pitch, because there's no real stance.
Yeah, it's a hanging just, belay. I did it for the first time with Alyssa. Alistair set us up. Oh my gosh, he was like a little matchmaker, little trad matchmaker. Never mind trad dad. I'd taken it to him like through Hawk's Eye, and then he was like, "Need Alyssa," and you know, different trad leaders have completely different beta. And I mean beyond gear placing. I mean the way they operate between stances and gear handover and rope management, all these things. So to just, I mean, talk about climbing partners. To just change, like, to trad, it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
Of just, like, trusting their beta and how they operate. And then just being on top of it and making sure they know that you're paying attention to the way they're doing things. And the efficiency game, now you're going to talk, like, 10 pitches.
And honestly, the micro maths that has to happen in gear placement. Because if I'm following... I fell a number of times on red corner, but I knew that his placements were...
How do you know that?
Because I know that he would expect the same from me. And honestly, when I led Hawk's Eye, the first pitch is so easy. And when we did it with Alyssa, I led the first pitch, but I put the anchor in the corner in the shade.
Mm.
She suggested that I move it around the corner onto the face... so that the belayer can see me when I'm leading the next pitch, the spicy pitch.
Mm.
And when I was, and it's now a hanging belay, I did not realize how much pressure is on a hanging belay. Honestly, when Manu got, I hadn't like properly loaded it, or like I tested it and it was all fine, no. Did all the math, made the things, equalized the things, belayed him up, and I was still, like, standing on the micro stance. Don't even call it a stance. It's, like, a micro stance. And he saw that I was panicking. He saw that I was, like... You can see my vibrations happening at just a level higher. Everything's just moving a little bit, like... And he was, like, just load it. It's fine. That moment that I was like, yeah, I have to. I know I have to, and I know it's fine. But he's also told me now that I have to.
And he's also loading it.
I know he's going to load it. Loaded it. It was fine. And he was right, because I had done my math the way that we were taught. And we've also been at a stance where we like look at one another and we're like, this is skits. This is sketchy, what we're doing right now. We got lost once on a... I think it was Golden Balls. Yeah, I think so. But we did not do the Golden Balls. We got lost. And we didn't know how to top out. And there was some simul climbing consideration happening.
I mean, just talking about the stance makes you want to throw up in my mouth. Never mind simul climbing trad. And you want to do like big wall trad climbing.
Yes, I want to do big wall trad climbing.
I better get me a trad buddy in the UK, because Smeeze will never do it. He's flat out been like, fuck no. Okay, so for listeners, two conditions of me immigrating with my boyfriend was, one, the dogs come with, that's non-negotiable, and two, he's my climbing partner until I find somebody else, because I'm not convinced that climbing partners and relationships need to go hand in hand. But he will not trad. He came along, like we've mentioned before, he's carried the gear, he's hammocked in the cliff, but I mean, can I judge him? I've just seconded pretty much. Like, I really shouldn't be so pompous about it.
I don't know.
I just actually want to second you for life. I'm fine with that, actually. Like, I'll hang your drawers on sport any day if you will lead our trad mission. I'll take it.
You know what? Yes.
And maybe with enough...
That'll push me a little bit in my trad, I think.
And with enough following, I'm sure I'll get there. But, I mean, Callie mentioned the other day, like, I mean, in her perspective, it takes, what did she say, like 5 years of seconding and climbing, being mentored
before
leading like proper crazy multi-pitch stuff.
And what maybe is proper crazy?
But that's what the is thing, Wes Medicine, yeah. Of course.
So
Hawkeye is crazy to me.
Consider this. My second grade sport outdoors is 17. So you're climbing 5 grades.
You're onside. What's your onside?
Yeah, it was a 17. Yeah. 5 grades. Last December, just by the way, I really should be climbing harder. Oh, fuck grades.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's so it's all relative. You climb trad a lot easier. Like you climb much easier grades on trad than you do on sport.
Yeah, but that mental game, I think, makes it 5 times harder, so it becomes the same.
I disagree. I find the increased stakes and the less distraction. It's so like quiet up there because there aren't.
But what is this distraction? I mean, think back to doing that first multi-pitch in Montague. Just a 2-pitch. What?
Yeah.
There was nothing to distract you there. We were the only ones in the crag.
Yeah.
So, like, he's talking shit, actually. He's talking cuck.
But the only thing the left focus. is the increased, the perceived increased risk of trad.
Perceived.
Yeah.
I see your conditional clause there.
As opposed to sport.
So maybe in sport you just.
I don't know what it is.
You're just kidding yourself, actually, and
I don't know.
Kicking the ass.
Honestly. If anyone else has experienced this, let me know. I freaking love it. I know it's going to be something simple. Like, Mika, you have a limitation on this thing. I don't know. I'll sit in it and figure it out at some point. But right now, I'm just really enjoying trad.
It's great.
Yeah.
I do love the whole concept of trad. Just.
Oh, yeah. The jamming as well. The style of climbing.
It suits you. It does. It suits you completely.
It just makes sense that you get your body stuck in places and then move around that.
For me, it's that. What we discussed last time when we were thrapping the cliff with 30 kgs on our backs, taking a bit of a scenic route to the Tweedledee and Tweedledum campsite. But knowing that we literally had everything we need to climb out almost anywhere if we needed to. Within reason, but it just felt so good.
Oh, yeah. There's something monumental about walking around with everything I need for my existence for the next 48 hours, 72 hours is on my back right now. I could exist anywhere. I don't need power. I can deal with all of these things.
You just need to buy your own hammock so you stop using mine.
I've entered the Iron Throne raffle. So I'm really hoping I win a hammock.
Yeah, I have two. They're coming with me. My dogs are fans. I have a hammocking crag dog.
It's adorable.
I'm considering entering him into Cute Pet today for a cash prize. Who doesn't want to watch a giant schnauzer in a hammock?
He gets real little. I'm surprised at how little he gets. He
falls up so small. Yeah, crag dog. That's a whole other show. We'll have eventually, I do believe, have an episode about crag dogs. Is there enough content on that? I'm not going to be self-indulgent. I know there's mixed reviews. And I don't blame anybody. My dog literally peed on your climbing bag as you came down from Jenga. And you'd been trying so hard.
I was so unimpressed.
And then Kuno lifted his leg. And I've never really seen you lose your patience with me or an animal. But you were so unimpressed.
I was not happy about it. I wasn't.
I don't blame you. It's fine. I mean, yeah, boy dogs.
So how do we deal with this? Amy carried out my bag. I carried out Amy's bag. And then just rinsed out down the bag at the campsite and it was fine.
Well, it was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. I'll wear my own dog's pee on my back.
Look.
I didn't even clean it. You cleaned the bag. Oh. I was busy doing other stuff. But also, yeah.
It was fine. It literally was just like a wipe and a quick thing. And then.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, boy dogs are the worst. I adopted this guy. Because I liked the way he looked. Oh, I'm so shallow. Whatever, yeah. He's fucking cute.
I want to quickly talk about something we spoke about in the Instagram Live that I know is not in this episode. And I think. It should be. We've been speaking quite a bit about our swinging.
I think
that was in this episode. Amy and I climb with other people.
Shocking, we're non-monogamous.
Lloyd and Money, great. It's been a great experience. You've heard a bit about them in this episode. But more specifically, none of us are sleeping together. People have come up to me and apparently it's the gossip in the Boulder Cave. It's Boulder ridiculous. Is what is that about? But anyway, not even a number of people have like expressed this as a fact because we now climb together.
Yeah.
Is he your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Guys, you don't need to date people to climb with them. And I've heard a number of, especially new female climbers, who if they want a Blair, then, or someone to teach them how to climb, or a mentor, or someone to climb with, a climbing partner, then they have to sleep with them, or be in a committed relationship with them. It's not the truth. You can also just climb. It's fine.
Or just do what we do and string them along indefinitely, and then it's like, I'm kidding. I'm definitely, lol. I'm definitely kidding, but I have to agree, I've had the same experience as Minka.
I can't believe you just said that. That's entirely contradictory to what we're trying to do, but hilarious.
It's fine. We're going to keep all of this in the edit. I am fucking around though. But honestly, I've had the same experience where people... Yeah. And it's especially hilarious because people saw me helping my boyfriend learn how to lead. And then saw me climbing with Lloyd weeks later, assuming it was the same person I was climbing with, being like, damn, he picked up lead fast, he's on 24s, look at him go. And I'm like, this is a different person entirely, actually.
Yeah.
And it's happened several times. Mm. People assuming Lloyd's my boyfriend. My responses vary. I do like to be quite shocking, as you've maybe just realized a few seconds ago. I give the obtuse response. And yeah, but I mean, it's not necessary.
No.
We found such a great platonic point, to the point where like, I'm sorry, Lloyd. I'm consulting on his Tinder profile to help improve his matchability. And that's fun. Girls can be friends with guys. When Harry Met Sally is a load of bullshit. Because honestly, you got to. If we're going to be defined by gender roles within our climbing partnerships, not gender roles, maybe that's the wrong term, but like, yeah, these
stereotypes
of relationships. Why didn't do that?
Why didn't anyone ask us if we were sleeping together?
Yeah, it's highly likely.
It's more likely.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you're actually just being closed-minded if you don't ask me and Minka if we're hooking up. I mean, we're not, for the record, but I'm just saying it's possible. What's with this heteronormative bullshit?
Yeah, I just wanted to debunk that thing just real quick. You can climb with whoever you want.
But if you do feel uncomfortable, as a woman, I'm just talking to women here because we're women.
Do men not feel uncomfortable?
I'm sure they do, but I'm saying there's specifically an initiative at City Rock called Climb Like a Girl.
Hell yeah.
Where you can just go climb with girls.
Mm.
Not necessarily saying they won't hit on you, but I'm saying...
At least they are alive to the gender difficulties of being a woman.
Yeah. And then you can just go climb in the safety of not maybe assuming you need to repay somebody for their breeding abilities.
I honestly was surprised when we heard that the other day. I was surprised that that's still a thing. Aren't we in the fucking 21st century, guys?
Oh, no, definitely not.
When I'm sure there was an update. We all got updated and then there were just some people that just didn't. Or they refused. Can you refuse? No. They said snooze is what happens. That's what happens snooze when you say update. Snooze on your update.
But this is the case with all things. And it actually is the symptom of confirmation bias and an echo chamber that we live in.
So exactly the one that we made a podcast in.
No, we assume that everybody is like-minded like us. Everyone that's listening to this is on the same page. No, we might be, hope actually, we're grating some people, actually.
Mm.
Because we think all climbers are, I don't know, environmentally conscious.
It's not the case.
We're more aware of, I don't fucking know, give me an option. But that is not necessarily the case, because you have one thing in common. It does not mean that we have a heterogeneous population.
But something that came up in the Friends and Allies episode, I think it was episode 5, 6, 5, 4,
oh,
I don't even know.
Vortex!
The one thing that we do share as climbers is that kind of body awareness. And while you climbing, the awareness that climbing demands, and how it's so easy to copy that into your daily life. You actually, maybe this is just my perspective, but if you're not doing that, you're actively not doing it because you're afraid of whatever it is. It's some insecurity that we're all running away from, whatever. You now know what awareness is. And if we're not putting it in every place in our life, think why? Why aren't we?
I disagree. I don't think everyone who climbs knows what awareness is. I think people just
surely,
climb.
How do you climb without it?
How do you lift weights? How do you... People just operate. People go to the gym to exercise. People just want to get to the top of the roof.
Climbing is not not like that.
For you, yeah. There are people in this world who just climb for gym. It's called gym climber. It's a thing. You just go... I'm not talking about the magazine. But people who just go to exercise. That's the thing. And they don't transfer it. They don't even think about how... My biggest frustration is watching people who only climb in the gym and never go outdoors and know the multitude of things they're missing out on. It is such a pet peeve for me. I'm like, you guys, it's all dumb. Just get out there. But people don't care. I think you overestimate people, honestly, and their capacity for self-awareness. I think you... It's sweet. Like...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You get people that just climb in the gym.
Yeah, you do.
I don't understand it either.
You don't want to believe it exists.
No, how can there be a reality where you don't want to just go more and more and more and higher and higher and higher and higher? But I mean, this is the difference in fundamental ethic between a trad climber and a boulderer. Yeah.
Truth. I think it is helpful, though, to maintain that perspective. Especially just considering our audience or anything we're trying to do and appealing to people. Remember that there are loads of different kinds of climbers who are doing it for different reasons. And ultimately, we need to respect those reasons, actually.
Yeah.
Even if we don't agree with them. And maybe try to see where they're coming from.
Absolutely.
I mean, definitely for me, climbing was a really fun social way to exercise. That's how it started. Outdoor climbing, although I definitely think I pushed for it, wasn't my goal when I started. At all. It wasn't yours either.
I started climbing on your birthday outdoors. Yeah.
Yeah, truth. You wanted yoga though.
Yeah. Well, that's why I joined City Rocks, because of the great yoga. Yeah.
Shout out City Rock. Yoga classes are bomber.
Guys, so great.
Chaffed about that. Just wanted to yin with Carly all day, every day.
All day.
Okay, we're going to wrap up.
Yeah.
With this big...
The difference between a climbing partnership and a belayer, something we started speaking about the first time in the car, and both of us recognizes the commitment to the time and honestly the financial benefit of having both of us like able to travel a bit.
Yeah, I don't even think it's about your income necessarily, but your attitude towards spending on climbing.
Oh, that's true.
And that comes towards commitment, and that's the same with time. Like, if you're committed to spending the time, I mean, hello, gyms are open till 9, 10 o'clock, actually, if you're committed. It doesn't matter if you work a full-time job all day, every day, you can do it. But let's not ignore the fact that we both work for ourselves. That is enormously helpful, and a fair amount of financial fluidity to make things work. Especially if you're going to consider like climbing as a seasonal sport, which I don't think we really do, but I think it's definitely going to be a thing that happens for me in the Europe.
You could very well start ice climbing.
Okay, so I recently read the book and watched the movie of Touching the Void that Jenny recommended in her episode. Oh my God, you want to talk about trusting a climber? I think we need to maybe just do a whole community canvas about the issue of cutting the rope. Your climber panic. Is standing over the edge. You can't communicate. Something's happening. You can't pass the knot because he can't get his weight off the rope. What do you do? Anyway, not necessarily something we have to discuss right now. What the fuck was my point?
Ice climbing. No,
I'm not ready to ice climb. I mean, maybe, yeah. Can I top rope that? Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I will.
You could definitely top rope that.
Maybe I will. We'll see. Anyway, but like on the topic of being in a different hemisphere to a climbing partner. I mean, I'm curious to see what climbing relationships I form there. As a interesting comparison, Johannesburg is a population of like how many million? I don't even know at this point. We have 3-4 climbing gyms in Gauteng. Let's not get into details.
Yeah.
To be inclusive, let's say 6. Whatever. Population, several million. I'm moving to a town population, 200,000. That's tiny.
But the climbing population, how many gyms are in that little town?
That's exactly what I'm getting to. There's 3 gyms in that town.
The climbing population is so much bigger.
Yeah, but in the flattest country, arguably ever. So I'm very, very curious to see how things change. And the fact that I have a podcast makes me a climbing journalist.
Hmm?
Gives me a great excuse to flip and weasel in there and ask all the questions. They recently featured their head reset on their Instagram. It's all in Dutch. I'm still learning. But I really want to like hook him up with Kane to get some conversation going, I'm see how things go.
To see what the language barrier does in a climbing partnership. Yeah.
Especially when it comes to cues and just socializing in general.
And understanding the other person. I mean, how much about our climbing partnership have we spoken about where you actually just understand me and how I work?
Well, that's not necessarily verbal communication, though. That's just knowing you as a person. Well, then again, how do you know somebody without...
And my choice of medium is verbal communication.
Yeah, I remember the first time you yelled falling and came out as... Let's see how the Dutch do it. Oh, I got what you were trying to say. It's all good.
Something's happening. You need to pay attention or not.
It got my attention. And sometimes that's what I need to shatter me. I have a very short attention
hilarious
span. But yeah, so we have a big change coming up. And I think that's why we felt necessary to try all 3 to 4 times this evening to record this episode.
I'm impressed with our commitment.
I'm not that impressed because there's wine and I get to hang out with you for hours on end.
I don't know. It's long. It's late now.
It's late. It's almost midnight. Things are crazy. I'm in the process of moving across the world and we felt it necessary to document our relationship.
Yeah. Does this make it real? Do we become Facebook official client?
It makes it Mingus not allowed to be in denial anymore about the fact that I'm leaving.
Don't edit that. That's on purpose.
It's terrifying. There's a whole lot of uncertainty coming.
Thank you for everyone that's asked us what's going to happen when we leave.
God! And by thank you, we mean like just watch what happens. I'm so tired of people asking me when I'm leaving and what's happening to the podcast.
But I'm so tired of people asking me when you're leaving and what's happening to the podcast.
That's what I feel. But you know what? Ultimately, we know this means you love us and care about us.
Yes, we love you dearly. All 180 of you.
Hope that this continues. And it will. Like, I'm committed. Once again, which recording was this in? We talked about being committed. And it doesn't matter how much chias you have. And I do have concerns over not being involved in the population day to day. But the commitment is there when the chias wanes.
Mm.
And... please reach out to me. Reach out to us. Swing us some DMs. I do a lot of the Instagram management.
Honestly, maybe it's worth it. Guys, won't you help us? This is going to be difficult. This is going to be difficult because Matt has just moved to Cape Town. Matt, I love you dearly. So happy that you're following your dreams. Amy's moving. It's just going to be me left here in Joburg. And guys, please help us. If you can drive some stoke in our way, in their way, do it, whatever you, however you want. Specifically, there's a community episode coming up.
Pump that shit. We want to hear from you guys.
But honestly, how can we ask our listeners to help us through this? Because we are trying to represent their voice. Honestly, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And the community episode is a way for us to get your actual voices.
Yeah, we can't speak for you guys. We're going to try. I'm toying with the idea of doing some interviews in Europe, obviously. the goal of the Sense Space being to have climbers from South Africa interviewing whoever's near them. Mm. And I'm hoping that I can adequately represent the South African community when we are comparing how things work, because it's going to be interesting. It's going to be hella interesting.
Mm.
But I can't adequately do that if I don't know what you have to say. So you got to tell us.
Yeah.
What do you feel? Have you been triggered by something we've said or one of our guests have said? Like, what is going on? Mm. We need to hear this. This is all pointless because this episode comes out after our dude.
I know, but maybe
we're going to extend the deadline. Matt, be prepared to work hard. New deadline, 15 Jan. It comes out a week later. Oh, my goodness. 2 weeks. Is
10 days. 26.
11 days.
Okay. Anyway.
See, guys, we are on it. We plan things. We do. Look at us planning things.
Oh, planning things on air.
A micro meeting just happened.
Oh, yeah. Please, if you can help us with this transition, we would honestly be stoked with your help. Our biggest fears at the moment are that Amy and Matt are going to lose stoke not being around so many of you, especially Amy. What are our other fears going into this, into the change?
Oh, that's pretty much it. I think the stoke seeps into multiple facets of the way we run things, and that's just being connected to the community, current affairs within the community. I mean, I don't want to use the word gossip, but I mean, what's potting? I'm not gonna know that, but I'm comforted by the fact that a lot of you have reached out to us with some feedback about things that you're seeing around you, which is cool. Honestly, if people just acknowledge that they've heard this part of the episode and say, we've got you.
Yes. Hell yes.
That's cool. And I guess
send us let's make a thing, a tagline or a
hashtag?
Or a hashtag. We've got you is not the one. I don't know.
We'll think, but I guess in a way, with everyone asking us when I'm leaving, they've already done that. They've already shown that they care. Oh, I'm going to make myself cry now. Mm. They've already shown that they care about the longevity of A, our relationship, and B, this podcast. That they they care enough to ask. Sorry, we're sorry. It's been so frustrating because, you know, because what keeps happening is you're actually just reminding us of this reality that's really hard to accept sometimes. That we won't be together
thank you.
All the time.
Thank you for asking us. Thank you for your love. I only feel it now because we've been through this realization all together. Hi. Yes. Okay. So I think maybe we are going to structure a campaign and focus the love. We're going to think about some things that our community can do for us because they want to help. They want to... Right? They want to show us love. Stuff again.
I'm just going to guilt trip everybody.
Patreon.
No, not even that. I'm leaving. You care about me at all. Tell me about something fun.
But specifically to help us with the change, I think we're going to come up with something good. We're going to come up with a fun campaign.
Well, I'll tell you the first thing that's going to happen.
Tell me.
Is the first step towards our bigger dream, and that is to have climbers in the field.
Okay, so that is actually where this community episode is going. If anyone hasn't picked up those threads, in Chris's first episode when he asked us about the podcast, etc., and the big dreams, we mentioned that that's the thing. We want South African climbers to be out there in the world recording episodes about their scents, with interviews with people, whatever they want. Whatever they want. Getting paid for recording podcast episodes and climbing. Hell yes!
I'm going to be the first one.
And yes.
By virtue of the fact that I'm a Sand Space co-founder, I guess you can say arguably I'm being paid. And I will go and I will interview somebody interesting I meet in my journey and report back.
So you promise?
I promise.
There we go. Heard it here.
It's going to happen. It gives me such a good excuse to weasel my way into that community. My goal is within 2 years to be as involved with whatever, let's assume I'm still in Holland by at that point. Whatever community is there, be as involved with that community as I am in South African community.
Considering about a month ago, we ran a event that did in fact help community relations with locals and all She operated for this community, guys. That's a big commitment.
Pulled some strings.
Yeah.
We made some shit happen.
Big commitment.
We had a very successful event.
It was called Bull
Open Weekend. Look out for my blog. And y'all, watch me do that shit. And see what they need, because it's going to be very different to what we need here.
If there's anyone out there that knows kind of what we're going into, or might foresee a problem that we definitely can't because we have no idea what we're doing.
If you know a single fucking climber in the Netherlands, let me know. Basically, just give me somewhere to start.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And how to deal with this change.
Yeah.
I think the climbing goals for our personal relationship has definitely reminded me of Stoke, for sure.
Are you talking about the big wall
stuff? Yeah, I forgot about the big wall for a second.
Okay, there's big wall. There's 30 pull-ups.
We're just setting goals left, right, and center.
And then there's Amy's community episode in the Netherlands.
Maybe you stumble across like a whole gathering of South Africans down there.
That won't be hard. They're fucking flocking.
There we go. And you can have a whole episode with them. Amazing.
Thank you for sitting with us as we've tried to navigate through making sense of several recordings this evening and several glasses of wine and our climbing partnership and business partnership as we navigate through new events and challenges that are sure to come. I believe we are supported. We have supported each other. And we will keep doing this.
And I believe that we're committed to you guys. We love it that you come and tell us your perspectives. The more we know, the better we can represent. Never, never stop.
And that's a wrap. Don't forget your helmet.
If you enjoyed that podcast, send us some love by donating money or telling people about the Send Space podcast. Check out our Patreon for ad-free episodes and extra content. There's some good stuff on there. You can become a Patreon by once-off donation or regular contribution. It's totally up to you. Please get hold of us. All our info is on thesendspace.org. If you haven't noticed, we like to chat. Thanks for listening all the way until the end. We appreciate it. Don't forget your helmet and rate, review, and share this podcast.